You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who have been calling the office, wanting to know why we haven't been on the air for the last 3 days, there was a phone line down on a mountain in Pennsylvania in the middle of a forest, and it took quite a while for crews to get up to it and repair it. It was the phone line that, of course, enables us to uplink to the satellite. So for all of our affiliates and all of our listeners across the country and around the world, that's what happened. It has now been repaired. And from all indications, we are on the satellite and should be going out to all our affiliates with no problem at this time. You also may have noticed that yesterday and today you were not able to reach anyone in the office, and that is because today is Pooh's birthday. And I had made some promises through the year that would affect her birthday, and yesterday I carried out one of those promises, which was to take her to the park and then go up on the mountain where we walked along a stream at the headwaters of the Little Colorado River for about a couple of miles, and then we went and found us a beautiful picnic spot in the middle of the forest, and Pooh and Allison and I had had a wonderful picnic and a wonderful day together, hiking and observing nature and picking wildflowers and picnicking and hiking and all of those kinds of things. And of course today is her birthday. The office was closed yesterday and today in honor of Pooh's birthday, and so that I could spend the time with her that needed to be spent with her. And of course, after this broadcast, I will continue that. Happy birthday, Pooh. I love you very, very much. You were a little surprise package in my life. You've never disappointed me, and you have brought me much love and comfort and wonderful feelings, and I am always in awe of your progression and your little mind and all of the things that you do and have done, and what a fine young lady that you are turning out to be. So happy birthday, my love, and as soon as this broadcast is over, we will continue with all of our little planned activities and things of that nature. So folks, with all of that out of the way, let's get on with the continuation of the Memorial Day broadcast, which was Monday, the last broadcast that you heard over the network, although it was not the last broadcast of the Hour of the Time that was heard here in Arizona. I was reading an article that I wrote and published as the headline article of issue number 6 of Veritas newspaper, which is a full-size national newspaper that goes out to thousands of subscribers, and every member of the House of Representatives, every member of the Senate, every member of the President's Cabinet, all agency heads, the President and Vice President. On my nickel, I foot the bill for that, every issue. And we are working diligently and very hard to get issue number 15 out, which is the next issue. And for those of you who have missed your subscription, we have taken care of the problems, and they will resume very shortly. Anyway, now with the continuation of BATF IRS criminal fraud. By golly, it is.
Under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible, Uphold the principles of our Constitution. And last but not least, it's a pledge to maintain the four great freedoms cherished by all Americans. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom from want, and freedom from fear. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Liberty and justice for all, freedom from fear. Is that true, ladies and gentlemen? Well, of course it's not. Because if it were true, you wouldn't be doing half of the things that you do, and you wouldn't be afraid half the time that you are afraid, or really, literally, most of the time that you are afraid. You certainly wouldn't be filing or paying the unlawful income tax. You see, you do it because you're afraid not to. You do it because people told you you have to, and they told you what will happen if you don't. And you read the paper, and you see what happens to some people who are ignorant of the law who don't, who cannot defend themselves, don't know what's happened to them. And so you don't really file and pay income tax, ladies and gentlemen. You pay tribute to your masters because you are afraid not to. Now, on Monday's program, I already demonstrated that the BATF and the IRS, both of these organizations are in reality the same organization. Where we find one, we will surely find the other. In 27 Code of Federal Regulations, that's 27 Code of Federal Regulations, Chapter 1, Section 250.11, definitions, we find, and I quote, United States Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Office, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Office, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Office in Puerto Rico, and Secretary, the Secretary of the Treasury of Puerto Rico, and Revenue Agent, any duly authorized Commonwealth Internal Revenue Agent of the Department of the Treasury of Puerto Rico, end quote. Remember that Internal Revenue is the name of the Puerto Rico Trust Number 62. It is perfectly logical and reasonable that a revenue agent works as an employee for the Department of the Treasury of the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. And that's exactly what revenue agent is defined as in 27 Code of Federal Regulations. That's 27 Code of Federal Regulations, Chapter 1, Section 250.11, definitions. And I'll read it to you again. Revenue agent, any duly authorized Commonwealth Internal Revenue Agent of the Department of the Treasury of Puerto Rico, end quote. That is the only definition, ladies and gentlemen, in the entire scope of the Code of Federal Regulations that defines a revenue agent. So where is the Internal Revenue Service? Where is the alleged Internal Revenue Service? The Internal Revenue Code of 1939, also known as the Internal Revenue Code of 1954, etc., 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 27 Code of Federal Regulations, refers to Title 26 as relevant to Title 27 as per 27 Code of Federal Regulations, Chapter 1, Section 250.30, which states that 26 United States Code 5001 small a 1 is governing a Title 27 United States Code law. In fact, 26 United States Code, chapters 51, 52, and 53 are the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms taxes administered by the Internal Revenue Service, alias Bureau of Internal Revenue, alias Virgin Islands Bureau of Internal Revenue, alias Director, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Division, alias Internal Revenue Service, alias Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. According to 26 Code of Federal Regulations, Section 1.6001-1, small d, records, no one is required to keep records or file returns unless specifically notified by the district director by notice served upon him to make such returns, render such statements, or keep such specific records as will enable the district director to determine whether or not such person is liable for tax under subtitle capital A of the code. 26 Code of Federal Regulations states that this rule includes state individual income taxes. Did you hear that? 26 Code of Federal Regulations states that this rule includes state individual income taxes. Now, don't get yourself all lathered up, because state means the District of Columbia, U.S. Virgin Islands, Guam, Northern Marianas Islands, Puerto Rico, territories, and insular possessions, not the 50 states of the Union. There is no implementation of law that applies to the citizens of the several states. 44 U.S. Code states that every regulation or rule must be published in the Federal Register. It also states that every regulation or rule must be approved by the Secretary of the Treasury. If there is no regulation, then there is no implementation of the law. There is no regulation, ladies and gentlemen, governing, quote, failure to file a return, end quote. There is no computer code for, quote, failure to file, end quote. The only thing we could find was a requirement stating, quote, where to file an income tax return, end quote. It can be found in 26 Code of Federal Regulations, Section 1.6091-3, which states that, quote, income tax returns required to be filed with Director of International Operations, end quote. Who, I ask you, is the Director of International Operations, and why in the world would you ever file an income tax return with the Director of International Operations? No one, ladies and gentlemen, in government is allowed to do anything unless they have been given specific written authority in the law, or else someone who has been given authority in the law gives that person a delegation of authority order, spelling out exactly what they can and cannot do under that specific order or under the law. We combed the Department of Treasury's handbook of delegation orders, and we found that no one in the Internal Revenue Service or Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms has any authority to do most of the things that they have been doing for years. For instance, they have no authority to audit. Delegation Order Number 115, Revision 5, that's Delegation Order Number 115, Revision 5 of May 12, 1986, is the only delegation of authority to conduct audits. It states that the Internal Revenue Service and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms can only audit themselves, and only for amounts of $750 or less. Any amount above that amount must be audited by the Comptroller General according to Title 31 United States Code. No other authority to audit exists. No Internal Revenue Service or Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms agent or representative can furnish us with any law, rule, or regulation which gives them the authority to audit anyone other than themselves. Order number 191 states that they can levy on property, but only if that property is in the hands of third parties. That means not them, not you, but in the hands of a third party if it belongs to you. Figure that one out. And they do have authority to investigate folks, but listen to what their authority is. Oh, this will really get you. The manual states on page 1100-40.2 of April 21st, 1989, Criminal Investigation Division that, quote, the Criminal Investigation Division enforces the criminal statutes applicable to income, estate, gift, employment, and excise tax laws involving United States citizens residing in foreign countries and non-resident aliens subject to federal income tax filing requirements by developing information concerning alleged criminal violations thereof, evaluating allegations and indications of such violations to determine investigations to be undertaken, investigating suspected criminal violations of such laws, recommending prosecution when warranted, and measuring effectiveness of the investigation process, end quote. Not too long ago, in their continuing efforts to shut me up and lock me away, they again, once again, began a criminal investigation of me for failure to file income tax returns for the last 2 or 3 years. As soon as I discovered what they were doing, I began to file Freedom of Information Act requests, ladies and gentlemen. And I filed so many it made their heads swim. And then I filed suit in federal district court for them to produce any delegation authority or law or any order or any specific verbal transmission that gave anyone the authority to conduct a criminal investigation upon me. And guess what happened? They're losing the case, ladies and gentlemen, because no such authority exists, no such order exists. And if they admit that anyone ordered anyone else to investigate me, I then have recourse to sue those individuals under the RICO Act for criminal activity against me. You see, I'm not afraid, ladies and gentlemen, because I've studied the law. I know what they can do and what they cannot do. I know what I'm required to do and what I'm not required to do. And I can guarantee each and every one of you listening that I pay every single lawful and constitutional tax that I am required to pay under the law. For I am a law-abiding citizen. But I am not a conquered sheeple. And I do not pay tribute out of fear to anyone if it is not required of me to pay it. I do not advise any of you to follow in my footsteps until you have studied as I have studied and are able to conduct yourself in a manner that will preserve your freedom. And that will take you probably a couple of years of studying. But you can do it, ladies and gentlemen. You can do it. You have the same brain that I have. You have the same brain that any others have. But you also have to remember that they will attack you and attack you and attack you as they attack me constantly. They call me a white supremacist, Nazi, Christian, fundamentalist, constitutionist terrorist because I tell the truth. I'm not a white supremacist. I'm part Native American. My wife is Chinese. I believe in the Constitution because it is the supreme law of the land. I am law-abiding. Anyone who is against that is not law-abiding, is in fact an outlaw. I am not a terrorist. I wage war, yes. I wage war with the truth, but I've never hurt anybody, ladies and gentlemen, and don't intend to. unless, of course, the truth hurts. And I can assure you that if you're a liar or a socialist or a communist, the truth will kill you. It will do more than hurt. It will destroy you. For it's all built upon a lie. What is their authority to collect, ladies and gentlemen? Do they have any? On page 1100-40.1, it states in 1132.7 of April 21st, 1989, Director, Office of Taxpayer Service and Compliance, quote, responsible for operation of a comprehensive enforcement and assistance program for all taxpayers under the immediate jurisdiction of the Assistant Commissioner International, directs the full range of collection activity on delinquent accounts and delinquent returns for taxpayers overseas in Puerto Rico and in United States possessions and territories, end quote. A state of the union is not a possession or a territory. The 50 states, ladies and gentlemen, are not included. 1132.72 of April 21st, 1989, Collection Division says, quote, executes the full range of collection activities on delinquent accounts, which includes securing delinquent returns involving taxpayers outside the United States and those in United States territories, possessions, and in Puerto Rico, end quote. In the law, includes does not mean what you think it does. You believe that it implies that the 50 states are what is being collected upon, and then they are including these extra named places. But in the law, includes means all inclusive of what is named and nothing else. Period. Look it up in any legal dictionary that you wish. Also look it up in the law. In the United States Attorney's Manual, there is a telling admission. The United States Attorney's Manual, Title 6, Tax Division, Chapter 4, page 16, October 1st, 1988, 6-4.270, Criminal Division Responsibility states, quote, the Criminal Division has limited responsibility for the prosecution of offenses investigated by the Internal Revenue Service. Those offenses are excise violations involving liquor tax, narcotics, stamp tax, firearms, wagering, and coin-operated gambling and amusement machines, malfeasance offenses committed by Internal Revenue Service personnel, forcible rescue of seized property, corrupt or forcible interference with an officer or employee acting under the Internal Revenue laws, and unauthorized mutilation, removal, or misuse of stamps, end quote. See 28 Code of Federal Regulations, Section 0.70. That'll frost you, won't it? We also found this little revelation in 28 United States Code, Rule 54, small c, application of terms, quote, listen to this carefully. As used in these rules, the following terms have the designated meanings. Quote, Act of Congress, end quote, includes any act of Congress locally applicable to and in force in the District of Columbia, in Puerto Rico, in a territory, or in an insular possession. End quote. Act of Congress does not apply to the citizens of the 50 states or to the 50 states, ladies and gentlemen. I just read it to you. It is the law. 28 United States Code contains the rules of courts. They were written and approved by the justices of the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court, in writing 28 United States Code, has already ruled upon this issue. It is the law. Where does the money go that is paid into the Internal Revenue Service? It spends at least a year in what is called a quad zero account under an individual master file, after which time the director of the Internal Revenue Service Center can, apparently, do whatever he wants with the money. It is sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, dispersed under Treasury Order 91, Revision 1, May 12, 1986, which is a service agreement between the Internal Revenue Service and the Agency for International Development, called AID. And wait till you hear what we finance under AID. And you'll hear that right after this short pause. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my father died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. My native country be, land of the noble free, thy name my love. I love thy rocks and hills, thy woods and templed hills. My heart is after thrills like that above. Let mortal tongues away, let all that grief partake, let rock their silence break the sound, O Lord. Our Father God, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land divide with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy
God, our King. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Nobody in this country could ever go against these principles and ideals, could they? Well, if you really believe that, you've gone over the edge and are falling, free falling through space, and they're miles till you hit the bottom, and when you do, it's going to be the hardest fall you ever took. Because there are people in this country who profess to be Americans who are subverting the Constitution for the United States of America, destroying this country, robbing you blind, and a lot of them are the people that you voted for, that you trust. A lot of them are in your city government, county government, state government. Most are in the federal government. But you see, the federal government could not do these things to the citizens of the several states without the full cooperation of the governments within the states. And that goes right down to your local city government. We have been infected with a plague of liars, socialists, communists, illuminists, but all liars, every single one of them. And until this plague is dealt with, and a good healthy dose of medicine is administered, and the body politic is rendered once again sane and well, we're going to continue to go down. And I continue now with this article. Listen very carefully. We financed, ladies and gentlemen, during the Cold War, Soviet weapons. Did that sink in yet? We financed during the Cold War, when we thought the Soviet Union was our enemy, Soviet weapons. You see, the Cold War has always been a sham. It never really existed. The Soviet Union has never had the scientific or manufacturing capability to even produce the simplest computer chip. All of the technology that they have and that they use and that they have built a mighty military machine with has come from the West, most of it from the United States of America. When William Casey, a Knight of Malta, director of the Central Intelligence Agency during the Iran-Contra affair, was the head of the Agency for International Development, he funneled hundreds of millions of dollars to the Soviet Union, which money was spent building the Kama River truck factory. The money came from the so-called, quote, taxpayers, end quote, the sheeple who don't know the law and have funneled money into the Internal Revenue Service, which then, according to their AID service agreement, funneled that money out of the United States and into international projects, one of which was the Kama River Truck Factory in the Soviet Union, the largest military production facility for tanks, trucks, armored personnel carriers, and other wheeled vehicles in the entire world. The Kama River Truck Factory has a production capability larger than all of the combined automobile and truck manufacturing plants that ever existed in the United States of America. Not just now, but that ever existed in the United States of America. There is an Internal Revenue Service, Agency for International Development, service agreement. And this agreement states, quote, authority is hereby delegated to the Assistant Commissioner International to develop and enter into the service agreement between the Treasury Department and the Agency for International Development, end quote. The Secretary of the Treasury is always appointed, ladies and gentlemen, United States Governor of the International Monetary Fund in accordance with the international agreement that created the International Monetary Fund. The Secretary of the Treasury is paid by the International Monetary Fund while serving as governor of the fund, which makes him an agent of a foreign power. The Secretary of the Treasury, serving now, today, is an agent of a foreign power. Lloyd Benson, when he was Secretary of the Treasury, held the following positions at the same time that he was the Secretary of the Treasury of the United States. U.S. Governor of the International Monetary Fund, U.S. Governor of the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development, U.S. Governor of the Inter-American Development Bank, U.S. Governor of the African Development Bank, U.S. Governor of the Asian Development Bank, U.S. Governor of the African Development Fund, and U.S. Governor of the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development. Mr. Benson received a salary from each of these organizations, which literally made him an unregistered agent of several foreign powers, not just one. By birth, ladies and gentlemen, we are each a citizen of the state of California, or a citizen of the state of Arizona, or a citizen of whatever union state wherein we were born. And at the same time, we are all citizens of the United States of America and are not subject to any acts of Congress other than the 18 powers specifically enumerated in the Constitution for the United States of America.
people who are born or who reside within the Federal District of Columbia, Guam, the U.S. Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, the Northern Marianas Islands, any territory on any naval base or dockyard within forts or within insular possessions are called U.S. citizens small c and are subject to acts of Congress. Within the law, all words have meanings that are not the same meanings that are accepted in common usage. And whether a word is capitalized or begins with a small case letter also has tremendous differences in meaning in the law. Our Constitution is the Constitution for the United States of America. The U.S. Constitution is the Constitution of Puerto Rico. The United States Constitution is the Constitution of Guam. We, as citizens, capital C, of the states of the Union, are subject to the laws of the jurisdiction which we volunteer to accept. In the law governing income tax, income is defined as foreign earned income, offshore oil well or windfall profits, and war profits. A return is prepared by a taxpayer to submit to the federal government taxes that he or she has collected. A taxpayer is one who collects taxes and submits the taxes as a return to the federal government. An employee is one who is employed by the federal government. An employer is the federal government. An individual is a citizen of Guam or the U.S. Virgin Islands. A business is defined as a government, a bank, or an insurance company. A resident is an alien citizen of Guam, the U.S. Virgin Islands, or Puerto Rico, who resides within one of the 50 states of the Union, known as the United States of America, or one of the other island possessions. Most of you, every year, faithfully file a Form 1040. How many of you knew that the 1040 form is only for aliens and it specifically says so in the instructions for the form? A Form 1040 is the income tax return for a non-resident alien citizen of the U.S. Virgin Islands residing within one of the 50 states of the several states in the Union known as the United States of America. If you volunteer that you are a U.S. citizen, you have become a U.S. citizen. If you write or print your name on a line labeled taxpayer, you have become a taxpayer. Since these forms are affidavits which you submit under penalty of perjury, you commit a crime every time you fill one out and sign stating that you are what you are not. The federal government is delighted by your ignorance. They are absolutely ecstatic by your ignorance. And will gladly accept your returns and your money. And if you ever write them and ask them to furnish you with the law or the letter sent by any district director instructing you to maintain records and file returns and pay income taxes, they will send you a copy of a return that you have filed in the past as proof that you are required to file. Where you have, on that affidavit, under penalty of perjury, stated that you are a U.S. citizen and that you are a taxpayer. If you don't believe me, try it. For there is no other requirement, ladies and gentlemen. Unless, of course, you fit into the foreign or non-resident alien status, or the status of someone doing business in one of the territories, insular possessions, Puerto Rico, Guam, Marianas Islands, District of Columbia, naval bases, forts, dockyards, etc. Or you're an employee of the federal government. Isn't this amazing? Now, some of you will become angry hearing this, And you will claim that there's something wrong with me because I don't pay income taxes. But ladies and gentlemen, the something is not wrong with me, it is wrong with you. For the only reason you pay is out of ignorance because someone told you to, and because you are afraid not to. And that is the truth. You don't pay because you know you are required to pay in the law. Not a one of you out there can show me in the law anywhere where you have ever seen that you're required to file and pay income taxes to the U.S. government. Not a single one of you listening to this broadcast can do that. Because you are acting out of ignorance, and you do it simply because you are afraid not to, and because somebody told you that you have to. I am acting under the law, because I have studied the law, and I know what it says. I pay every lawful and constitutional tax that I am required to pay, and will continue to do that as long as I live, because I am a law-abiding citizen. The difference between you and I is I know the law, and you do not. And I am not afraid, and you are absolutely terrified. Now, that alone should tell you more about the current state of affairs in the United States of America than anything that I could tell you in the next 500 broadcasts on the hour of the time. If the citizens of this country are terrified of their own government, who is the terrorist? And who is living in freedom and who is not? Don't tell me all this stuff about liberty and the goosebumps you get when the flag marches by. Because that's a fool's game. Look at what's happening in the United States of America. Look at how you live your lives. Look at how absolutely terrified you become when a police car pulls into the lane behind you in traffic on any street, highway, or interstate thoroughfare in this nation. Didn't used to be that way. When somebody mentions Internal Revenue Service, notice how your heart jumps as the terror takes hold. All references. This is from the Virgin Islands Tax Guide, which states, quote, all references to the district director or to the commissioner of internal revenue should be interpreted to mean the director of the Virgin Islands Bureau of Internal Revenue. All references to the Internal Revenue Service, the Federal Depository, and similar references should be interpreted as the Bureau of Internal Revenue, and so forth. Any questions in interpreting federal forms for use in the Virgin Islands should be referred to the Bureau of Internal Revenue, end quote. Now, if that were true, then they're paying a tax to an entirely different entity than you think you're paying a tax to. The truth is, folks, you're all paying the tax to the same entity. They're required, you're not. Unless you fit into certain activities and certain classifications of either alien or citizen with a small c, you're not required under the law. The codes, ladies and gentlemen, tell the tale. In Internal Revenue Service Publication 6209, computer codes for the Internal Revenue Service, TC150 is listed as the code for Virgin Island returns, and the codes 300 through 398 are listed as U.S. and United Kingdom tax treaty claims involving taxes on narcotics, which were financed in the Cayman Islands and imported into the Virgin Islands, end quote. Are you a narcotics dealer? When Freedom of Information Act requests have been filed for the individual master file, or IMF, for people who are experiencing tax problems with the Internal Revenue Service, every single return has been found to contain the above codes, except for some which are coded as Guam returns. Every single return shows that the unsuspecting citizen, capital C, is being taxed on income derived from importing narcotics, alcohol, tobacco, or firearms into the United States or one of its territories or possessions from a foreign country or from Guam, Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, or into the Virgin Islands from the Cayman Islands. You see, the Internal Revenue Service has fraudulently programmed their computers to disregard the occupation and your place of domicile that you list on your return and substitute them with the ones that make you taxable. Don't believe me? Get a hold of your individual master file from the Internal Revenue Service and you will see that I'm absolutely 100% correct. You see, because unless they have you filed that way, they cannot lawfully tax you. Now, who's required to file? Are you required to file? Well, let's look at what the law says. 26 Code of Federal Regulations, Section 601.103, small a, is the only place which tells us who is required to file a return, provided that person has been properly noticed by the district director to keep records, and then is properly noticed that he or she is required to file. It states, quote, "In general, each taxpayer or person required to collect and pay over the taxes is required to file a prescribed form of return," end quote. Are you a taxpayer? And no one is required to file anything unless they have been noticed by the district director to keep records, and then, after keeping records and having them inspected, is properly noticed that he or she is required to file. That's really a revelation, isn't it? Have you received a notice from the district director to keep records? And after keeping records for a while, has the district director sent someone to inspect those records? And then, based upon the inspection of those records, has the district director then properly noticed you that you are required to file? And if they have not, why are you doing it? Who are these Nazi jackbooted thugs? Because that's exactly what they are. They are the terrorists. The scam manifests itself in many different ways, ladies and gentlemen. In order to maintain the semblance of legality, hats are changed from moment to moment. When you are told to submit records for examination, you are dealing with customs. That's right, because the Internal Revenue Service has not the authority to do it. You're dealing with customs. When you submit an offer in compromise, you are dealing with the Coast Guard because they're the only ones who are allowed to accept offers in compromise and rule upon them and make the agreements in compromise. The Coast Guard. When you are confronted by a special agent of the Internal Revenue Service, you are really dealing with a deputized United States Marshal. When you are being investigated by the alleged Internal Revenue Service, you are really dealing with an agent contracted by the Justice Department to investigate narcotics violations. When the alleged Internal Revenue Service charges you with a crime, you are dealing with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms because they're the only ones under the law that have the authority to deal with crimes. Only a small part of 26 United States Code is administered by the alleged Internal Revenue Service. Most of the code is administered by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, including chapters 61 through 80, which is enforcement. The Internal Revenue Service has no authority to enforce, fine, seize, or place liens upon anything. In addition, 27 Code of Federal Regulations is Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and states in subpart capital B, definitions 250.11, meaning of terms, quote, "United States Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Office, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Office in Puerto Rico," end quote. It is the only definition of that term in the law. Every person we find who is being prosecuted by the alleged Internal Revenue Service has a code on their individual master file, which puts them in, quote, tax class 6, end quote, which designates that they have violated a law relating to alcohol, tobacco, or firearms in Puerto Rico. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms has no venue or jurisdiction within the borders of any of the 50 states of the United States of America, known as the Union, except in pursuit of an importer of contraband alcohol, tobacco, or firearms who failed to pay the tax on those items. As proof, refer to the July 30, 1993 ruling of the United States Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit in 1F3rd 1511, 1993, United States Supreme Court, Appeals, Lexus 19747, where the court ruled in United States versus D.J. Vollmer and Company that the BATF has jurisdiction over the first sale of a firearm imported to the country, but they do not have jurisdiction over subsequent sales. You see, the feds lie, and they lie consistently. Attorneys, including your defense attorney, the U.S. attorney, federal judges, and alleged Internal Revenue Service and Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms personnel routinely lie in depositions and on the witness stand to perpetuate this fraud. They do this willingly and with full knowledge that they are committing perjury. Every judge intentionally lies every time he or she gives instructions to a jury in a criminal or civil tax case brought by the Internal Revenue Service, or BATF. They all know it and do it willingly and with malice aforethought. Where do they get these guys? How does the government hire people who will intentionally work to defraud their fellow Americans? Most of those who work on the lower levels for the IRS, BATF, and other agencies simply do not know the truth. They do what you do. They do what they're told to earn a living until retirement. They do what their boss tells them, and they never look it up, not once, because that's work. Executives, U.S. attorneys, federal judges, and others do know and are, with full knowledge and malice aforethought, participating in the crime of the century. Many of these people, including the President of the United States, are paid lots of money. Now listen to this. Here is what perpetuates the fraud. Everybody involved in collecting a tax gets a piece of it. The Internal Revenue Manual, Handbook of Delegation Orders, January 17, 1983, page 1229-91, outlines the alleged Internal Revenue Service's system of monetary awards, quote, of up to and including $5,000 for any one individual employee or group of employees in his, her immediate office, including field employees engaged in national office projects and contributions of employees of other government agencies and armed forces members, end quote, with the approval of the deputy commissioner. Quote, of $5,001 to $10,000 for any one individual or group with approval of the deputy commissioner, of $10,001 to $25,000 for any one individual or group with the commissioner's concurrence, an additional monetary award of $10,000, total of $35,000 to the President of the United States through Treasury and OPM with the commissioner's concurrence. These awards, ladies and gentlemen, are cash awards, and so there is no record kept. They are not limited as to the number that may be awarded to any one person or group. There is no time limitation placed upon any award. You see, you think you go into court and you're being treated fairly, and the judge is impartial there to make sure that it's a fair trial. But the judge, if he secures a conviction against you and your property and your money is taken, gets a cut of the action, ladies and gentlemen. They all do. The deck is stacked against you unless you know what you're doing and what you're talking about and you know the law. This is a criminal activity of the most severe and malicious and terrible kind. And just think how many people are in prison. Their lives have been destroyed. Their marriages ruined. Their children think of them as criminals. How many years have they spent in prison? How many, 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 many years of work to accumulate some kind of security for your family and your posterity has been seized by these thugs and lives destroyed? Any person or group of persons can be awarded this money, including U.S. attorneys, federal judges, your certified public accountant, the President of the United States, H&R Block, members of Congress, your mother, your next door neighbor that you told about how you cheated a little bit on your income tax. The awards may be given to the same person or group each minute, each hour, every day, every week, every month, every year, or not at all. There is no limit to what they can accumulate. In other words, the U.S. government and the alleged Internal Revenue Service, also known as the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, has a perfectly legal system of bribery. The bribery works against the citizens of the several states of the United States of America. Good night. And God bless every single one of you. This is the Voice of Freedom. A nation or world of people who will not use their intelligence are no better than animals that do not have intelligence. Such people are beasts of burden and stakes on the table by choice and consent. You're listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, Eager.
Having a hard time finding your favorite show on shortwave or satellite? The Christian Media Newspaper now provides program guides to all the top Christian, patriot, and alternative radio programs. Four times a year, they print an updated shortwave and satellite program guide. Christian Media is only $20 a year and includes news and interviews on Christian books, video, music, and broadcasting. Subscribe now and receive a free Christian music compact disc with your paid order. To subscribe to Christian Media or receive more information, call 520-333-4578. Once again, to subscribe to Christian Media or receive more information, call 520-333-4578. That's 520-333-4578. Call now.
101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust as a nonprofit community service.
We now return you to our regularly scheduled programming, All Oldies, Most of the Time.